Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, great having Michael Friedman here. Simple Life Hospitality. If you're even thinking about renting out your home, there are so many hoops that you have to jump through, and going through a guy like that is going to make it so much more, to make it easier, but also peace of mind.
Yeah. An analogy, and it has a little bit to do with our next guest, but it's like using a realtor or doing a FSBO.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? They just take care of everything.
Yeah, all the things that you might not think about.
But there's a commission, I think some things are really worth it. And but you know, you look at the downside is it's scary if you do something wrong, right? Damage or the wrong tenant. But the upside is great.
Absolutely.
Like you said, we're talking 1,600 foot home. He's thinking $1,500 a night, $2,000 a night.
It's crazy.
$4,000 a night,
right,
for some homes?
For some of these homes are $4,000 a night.
Me?
I know.
My deer camp. I'm serious.
You offered up $50 a night.
And, wow. And the sauna. I'll fire up the sauna. Wow.
Anyway.
Looks like we're going up north.
Yeah.
You guys have fun.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. What is going on? And I'll be honest. You know, Jim and I talk. We're both in real estate, yada, 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 unsuccessfully. But we're both in the business.
Speak yourself.
And
10 million.
The mortgage rates are going all over the place, and they're predicting one thing, right, and that doesn't happen, and then whatever. For you, must get just pummeled all the time about, do I refinance? Is now a good time? Do I wait for them to go down? Are they going to go up? What's that like? You're juggling a lot of different things, aren't you?
It is. It's crazy. And it's like, you know, they say it's like looking at a crystal ball, right? We joke and say we don't have one of those. Yeah. But it really is right now, because there's so much involved in it between inflation and housing and, you know.
And the election. Is that going to be a factor?
Is that going to be? You know, the Federal Reserve says that they are not going to interfere with interest rates. So that's great. We did get some reporting this week that's really on the good side of inflation.
Okay.
So right now the Federal Reserve is talking between 0.25% in September.
Down.
So it'll really ride out to see what we'll get out of that. We're all expecting it. It's one of those that has already come in now. Here's the thing that people, you know, they say in September, here's the thing that people, you know, the general population doesn't know. Is that already baked into when they started falling a week or two ago? Are we going to get any more? Or is it going to come and it's going to hit hard? So everybody's kind of that knee-jerk reaction right now of either get in right now or hold off. I want to hold off and wait.
Great point. Cool thing about Point Mortgage, you have so many different programs.
Yes.
Whereas you could even bet against the interest rate and say, 100%. Look, I'm going to take out short-term now and then we'll wait. I think that's important that people know it's not. Well, you read in the paper, it's 7.7, whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
The national average. The other thing that.
What is it right now?
Well, that's a tricky question.
That's why she's here. Right.
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked, because I'll get texts and calls all day. Kristen, what's your interest rate? And it's such a loaded question right now, because 5 years ago, you could call me and I'd tell you the rate. And it was probably going to be the same for 2 weeks. And it was the same no matter if you were purchasing a first home, a second home, an investment property, whatever the case may be. Now, because they are trying so hard to keep the affordable housing, if you're a first-time home buyer, you have a different rate than if you've been a subsequent buyer, than if you're an investor.
Really?
If you're buying a second home, they're all different rates. Are you doing FHA, VA? Yeah. So there's not just one flat rate to anything anymore. And it depends on your credit score, your loan-to-value, you know, just your debt-to-income ratio. All these things take in a really big, you know, part of your... Right. Of your
I did not
interest
know that.
Rate.
I had no idea.
They're very person to person right now. So it just really depends. Like you could, I was quoting as low as, you know, 5.875%, you know, with a slight overage of APR.
Really good.
Last week, where, you know, to some first time home buyers, but then I'm talking to a refinance and maybe we're at 6.5.
Wow.
And they're like, wait a minute, I just saw this. So now it's the explaining of and re-ripping that Band-Aid that remember in May 2 years ago, when the Federal Reserve said, or I shouldn't necessarily just say the Federal Reserve, but the HUD in general and housing said, listen, if you're going to buy an investment property or a second home, those rates are going to be higher because we want to hold all the housing we can for affordable homes. We don't want you to buy second homes. And then if you can't afford a second home or an investment property, clearly you can afford a little bit of a higher interest rate too. So it's having that discussion, which is re-ripping that Band-Aid from that decision made a couple of years ago.
But some people, John, they may go and say, look, I'm going to live in that home.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, another thing though, too, when you talk about the different rates.
Yeah.
And you almost hate to say this because when you're talking about, you know, your history, yep. your credit history, and man, those things are just such a mortal sin that just stay with you. And it's like so many times, and we've talked about yeah. this, if people don't have good enough health insurance or whatever, they're self-employed, and yeah. you get some kind of you're not a deadbeat.
No, you know you're a black mark. It's a bad period.
Yeah. Yes.
Boy, those are
tough.
And
huh?
you recruit
they
and
are.
You recovered, and yeah, they're... Yeah.
I always tell people, you know, bad things happen to good people.
Absolutely.
All the time. And don't ever feel any kind of way. Listen, I've seen all the kind of credit you sure. could possibly see in your life. And I've always said, we help everybody regardless of your credit. Now, with that said, we might not be able to help you get in a house in the next couple months,
right.
but we can help you with your credit to get in a house in the next year or two.
I mean,
years.
That score
as
is
long
such
as
a...
you want. That score is huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, all
and
the
it's
day.
So, it's like. They judge people by that score, even though every person's history could be different of why that's, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And you could have these deadbeats. It's like, nah, I'm not going to pay my rent. I just bought a new truck, yada, yada, yada. Or somebody that has health issues.
Right. right. Health issues. I hate to say it, but divorce.
Right.
Loss of a partner. You know,
absolutely.
There's so many, especially on the
And they're
health
all
side.
Judged by that
they're
same
They're all judged
thing.
By that. Yeah. yeah. Which
but where you can look at this and say, okay, let's work on this.
Let's help them. Let's find an answer for it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that think that their credit is too bad and we've been able to help them. And then a mortgage is the number one thing on your credit to help your score recover.
Right.
So it can be a really good blessing for you later on. It's just a matter of finding that person that's going to walk you through that and understand exactly where you're at. On the flip side of things, some people think because I have an 800 credit score and I could pay cash for this house, I automatically get an approval for a loan. But that's not always the case either because it's a debt-to-income ratio.
Right.
So if you're on limited income for what various reasons, even though you have a super high credit score and even though, you know, you pay all your bills, doesn't always mean that it equates to being able to get in a house. So that's why talking to a loan officer is so important to do that sooner versus later.
Right. And you know, I've had this discussion with my son basically because he doesn't have any debt or he's got, you know, student loans or, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
But it's like, in order to have a good credit rating,
I know.
You have to go into debt.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's like such a weird thing.
My cash is king people. It's their eyes start doing that
yeah.
that zoomy thing because they don't realize that that's part of it. And so I have to go through that with them to be like, hey, listen,
yeah,
I know your cash is king, but as a lender, I'm looking at that going, I don't know if that means you pay all your bills on time. Or maybe your cash is king, but you pay them all a month late. I couldn't tell you what that looks like. So for all my Dave Ramsey fans out there, I am a fan as well. Don't get me wrong. There's certain things he does that are amazing. But one of the things I disagree with him on is, yes, you can buy a house without credit, but you need a massive down payment and you still get an interest rate like you have bad credit or
Isn't
no
that
credit.
Crazy?
So that's why it's so important just to establish something. And it only takes a couple months to establish. I helped my 18-year-old daughter. We had her in a secured credit card. So
right.
it was all her own money.
Right.
So she couldn't get in trouble.
Right.
And gave her all the tips to pay it on time. And now she's going to be 19 and she's got a 700 plus credit score and she's ready to go. And she did that on her own.
That's awesome.
It's just a matter of
I don't think a lot of kids realize that.
No.
And they're trying to do it the right way. Like my dad paid cash for everything. So I grew up saying, well, I'm going to try to pay cash. And you get penalized for it.
But there's a... Not just right. Dave Ramsey. I have a friend of mine who's down there right now, went to a seminar. You sent me a picture of him and Dave Ramsey, and he just, you know, he follows this guy like gospel.
Oh, yes.
And
so many people do.
Yeah, they do. But if you can pay cash for everything, it works.
Absolutely.
But, you know,
and
but
for
who
all
pays
those
cash?
All right. those people buying houses with cash because they never want to see a mortgage again.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. I just
Most
think
people are.
If you want to go cash for everything, that.
You have to then go
everything.
Cash for everything.
That's
100%.
They come and see you. When do you get, when do we call you? Like, I'm thinking of buying a house.
Right then.
Okay. What's that?
Right then.
She said the first one of the first calls was to her.
It has to be.
The very.
Or you're wasting your time.
The minute you're even like, I'm thinking about doing this, call lender. Call me. Call whomever. That you know, like, and trust. And if you don't like and trust, I'd love, like, a shameless plug, love to earn your business, love to help educate you on that. But a lot of people think they go to the realtor first and then look at houses and then come to us. That's the absolute backwards way to do it, because otherwise that realtor might be showing you homes.
And can I just say that Ben and Deanna Malcor would give the same advice.
Exactly.
Because you're wasting their time too.
Yes.
And until you get pre-approved and know what you can do. So Ben and Deanna would be the first people to say, thank you for calling us. Have you talked to a lender?
Right. And you gotta think of it. So many people are like, well, if they're a real estate agent and they want my business, they'll just, they'll answer whenever. But you got to remember that these people are out on all their nights and weekends away from their family.
Absolutely.
They don't want to be out. One, you're interrupting the sellers by getting them out of the house. And two, that realtor's now taking you out, unless you're really serious about it, meaning you have a pre-approval in hand and you could walk in and buy that house. You know you can.
Yep.
It's really all for naught. And honestly, if you have a realtor who's going to take you into a home right now with knowing that you've done nothing, you might want to interview a couple more agents.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
Just my bit of advice.
All right. So again, I want to know how
you need people to give you a onesie, but that's about it.
No,
Kristen Ambrose, Point Mortgage Corporation.
And what's the email again? I mean the website?
Oh,
email.
It's www.ambroseteam.com.
Awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, I think this is really important that you're not just for first time home buyers. I mean, you're into refinancing, you're into second, third homes. You're actually
correct.
And you deal with any investment property?
Yeah, I am an investor myself. I always have been. I'm not a massive investor, but I do think that there's a place for it in your portfolio. And so understanding and working with somebody who understands, like, any loan officer is going to tell you they're expert and VA, FHA, this, that, investments, whatever. But if it's a true, somebody who's truly invested, they get that. You want to talk to that person.
But real estate is kind of a get rich slow. You know,
it 100%.
But it's like, works. That, you get a 20-year, 15-year. It is. That's that old. Exactly.
Yes.
Can you stick around?
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
we want to hold you over because I want to talk a little bit more about the investment type things, properties, okay?
You got it.
We're with Kristen Ambrose, Point Mortgage Corporation. Back right after this. Welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here on a beautiful Thursday morning. We are with Kristen Ambrose, Point Mortgage Corporation. You just got a text from a mutual friend.
Yes.
Where is he?
He is, it's awesome.
In a tent.
Yes, he's in a tent in Wyoming, preparing for a big adventure, 33 degrees, listening in.
Awesome. Mike Pritzel, great friend of ours.
We love Mike.
And I was supposed to go out there for mountain climbing school, but my artificial hip kicked in, so I couldn't make it.
Son of a gun.
Yeah, I know. It's like, hopefully next year I can do that mountain climbing school.
Yeah, Chris, it's incredible.
Yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit about, because I wanted to get into this, I'll be honest. I watched every one of those flipper shows.
Oh, yeah.
That was my dream, was to flip stuff and the investments. And those TV shows, it's fantasy world. It's like, I made $200,000 this week by flipping this, 1,200 square foot house, yada, 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 yada. Give me the real reality right now of flipping investment homes, all those kind of things.
Yeah, so.
The reality.
So one of the things.
Like I said during the break, what I think I love about you, you cut right through the BS.
Yes.
So go ahead.
That's my jam.
Yes.
It's cutting through the BS. So investment properties, what you need to know about them as somebody who's thinking about investing is single family home investors are typically 20 to 25% down. Now, you might be able to do something with 15% down, but you're going to pay through the nose and fees. So that's why you want to just know exactly what you're going into.
Fees,
right?
Are those hidden things fees, that nobody wants fees, to talk about, aren't
fees,
they?
Fees, right.
And then they say, well, don't worry, we'll just roll it into your mortgage. Well, yeah. It actually costs you more than the fee.
Well, it depends. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're upwards of rolling in $10,000 to $15,000 right. of fees in your mortgage, are you really getting your return on right. your investment? No, yeah. So that's what you need to know.
That's good to know that 20, 25%, because that's pretty simple. $200,000 yeah. house, where's your 50 grand? And people can say like, ooh. But
exactly. And you want to know, you want to make sure, you know, even for 2 to 4 units, those might be 20 to 25% down. The more you put down, the better your rate on investments, the less your fees, right? So I always say to people, listen.
So you're putting more skin into the game, basically. Yeah.
So I'm going to have a lot less fees at 25% down on a single family home than I'm going to have at 20. So I talk to the clients about that, and it's like, put your own money into the 25 and right. don't give your money to me or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, because those were the fees are coming from essentially in the lenders. So just put it down, and then now you're using your own money. You're going to get it back and that type of thing. But
how much risk is there for you if somebody says, hey, I'm going to do some upon this old house in Two Rivers.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix it up and I'll double, you know, the whatever. How much risk is there for you with this market being so up and down and whatever?
Typically right now, the risk is really low because you have okay. somebody putting down a lot of money, as well as you do still have appreciation. Appreciation is still going up. It's not going up as dramatic as it was a couple of years ago,
right.
but it is still on an incline. So the fact that they'll probably get that. The other thing that we do is we look at the appraisal with the plans that they're going to get done, and then we appraise it as though it's done. However, we also send an appraiser back out to make sure the work they told us they were going to do is done,
right.
and make sure any money that they're taking is into that.
Hold them accountable, don't you?
Similar to a construction loan.
Got
when
it.
You do the flipping.
Okay.
So with the
so you're CYA.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you were talking about just the plethora of loans that you offer, right? Like 16, 17 or different type of packages that you can offer?
Oh gosh, yeah. There's hundreds of different loan products. And so there's a lot of options. So like if one lender tells you no, always get a second opinion, because there's lenders that I can do stuff that banks, credit unions can't do.
Right.
They can do stuff, in all fairness, that I can't do. So, for example, they are really great with construction, like when you're using your own money to build a house. I can handle and am really great with turnkey construction, where the builder builds the house and sells it.
Sure.
So those are two totally different, same house, same brand new house at the end, but depending on who's financing it is which bank can handle it. A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know what's something, though, too? And just reading this book called Charlie Company, about these guys that all went to Vietnam, yeah. and they followed their lives afterwards, kind of. And it's a really almost disheartening thing. It's like, man, I just want to survive this war. I want to go home. I'm going to marry my high school sweetheart. We're going to buy a house, and life is going to be good, okay?
Yep.
And they came back, and the interest rates were so high. And the VA loan program was crap back then, to be honest with you.
Yes.
And I just fought for my country. You went through all this. And I can't, the American dream that my family had,
right.
I can't do that. And it was really disheartening.
Right.
How big of a, I mean, like, what you do is life changing.
It can be, yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And having that discussion with the client, okay, what does this look like? For some investors, they want to start house hacking. So they want to buy a 2-unit, live in one side. Live in there for a year or two, then rent it out, buy another one, do the same, buy another one, do the same. And that's how they start their portfolio with a little bit of money down. But they're willing to take the move after move to build their portfolio, which is awesome. But understanding what the client wants to do long term with that, is it a flip now or is it a long term investment, will completely change the dynamic of what financing they should do as well.
That is a commendable strategy, though.
Yes.
You know, but
isn't
it's just
there a theory that
20 years, so it takes a long time.
Isn't it like 6 years? Wasn't there a thing at one time where it's like you buy a house, stay in it 6 years, sell that house, do it again, and after about 3 or 4 times, your mortage is gone? Wasn't there an old theory about that?
There is an old theory about that.
Yes.
Yep.
I think it was 7, but yes.
Yes.
Okay. No, you're right, John. I think today, I don't think it's okay to have a mortgage, even though I just think there's a peace of mind if you can get rid of your mortgage.
Yeah.
I just want you to explain that there are some where you cannot pay it early.
Oh, a penalty?
I should say.
And the prepayment penalties are coming back. So one of the ways to, especially an investor, so I'm glad you brought this up, when you're buying investment homes, right? So you can do it with a non-prepayment penalty and the rate is higher. You want a lower rate to capitalize more on the income of that home, you could now take a 3-year prepayment penalty at a lower rate, but now you're in that loan for a minimum of 3 years unless you pay the penalty. It's the way that the mortgage companies and the investors get their money back.
I understand.
And it's a way for then the investor to have a lower payment, maximizing their profits. Yeah.
New homeowners, I mean, obviously, Jim, we're two old guys, so we're not probably buying houses anymore. But for these young people.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And like no, I said, when I graduated from college, the interest rate was 14%.
Yeah.
So no young people were buying houses. For these young people that want to get into, they don't want to pay exorbitant rent anymore. We got 2 minutes. Tell me your advice for them.
My advice to them would be get with a loan officer now.
Okay.
Because even if, like I said, even if the pre-approval is not right now or you need to save money, we can sit down with you and I can make a strategy with you. Okay, you need this much money, or we have these grants. You can get into a home right now with these grants.
Okay.
Because here's what's going to happen too, is the rates are going to come down and the demand is still not there, which means the prices are going to go up. So the sooner you can be ready to find that home, you can, you know what I mean? If rates are come down, you can always refinance later as long as you qualify again. That's the big thing, is with refinancing, you have to qualify again, even though you own the home. But you want to make sure you have that strategy laid out and what you need to do in order to get out of those rents. Because if you start renting now, that's what they're trying to put people into rental properties, because then you're stuck there forever right now.
Right.
There's no cap on rental income. There's no cap on how much you can put down, you know, or how much you can increase rent year over year, that I'm aware of anyway.
No, that you're right. There's a lot of comfort in a 30-year fixed or 15-year fixed, whereas rent, and there are a few places.
It's just arbitrary.
It is, but there's a few places where there's caps, but very, very few. And it's amazing what the greed or whatever it is.
I rented a piece of crap in Kakana, and I got a notice one day it's going up $150 a month.
Yes.
And it was like ghetto-ish, whatever you want to call
for
it.
For the record, his rent doubled.
Yeah, you're right. Kristen, you're awesome. Kristen Ambrose, give yourself a quick plug.
Thank you. You can find me 920-606-1156 or ambroseteam.com.
Beautiful.
A-M-B-O-S.
Love it. Thank you so much for what you do. Back right after this.
Bino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, we've had some phenomenal guests today. Blake Lyle, William Terrace, and Brandon Danforth from the great event taking place out at NEW. Go ahead. At Fort Howard Park.
Right.
Your school.
The car show.
Yes.
Yes.
They were awesome. Michael Friedman, of course, if you want to rent out your house for the Packer draft. Kristen Ambrose, amazing. Give her a call if you're looking to buy something. And now a couple of gentlemen that I have so much respect for, Douglas Darby and Jacob Jansen. We always say everybody that walks through our door is cooler than us, smarter than us, more successful than us. And these young men are changing lives because you know why? They saw the devil face to face. Is that the truth?
100%. You know, and I appreciate you saying that. You forgot better looking than you.
Right. But no, I don't think so. I'm serious. How old are you?
39. Just
okay. When I was 39, and Todd even and dug something out when I was doing the Lindy and Fonda show, I looked exactly like Joe Pesci and my cousin Vinny.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like
so
that.
So I will dispute that. Now, now you're tall and slim and well-built and tatted up. Now, yes. But at 39, it's a battle, my friend.
But I grew up listening to you, so thank you for all this bravado.
I remember when you were like 11 years old. Isn't that funny?
I'm going to cut in here and say no comment.
Okay.
Yes.
No comment is very good. Thank you, Jacob. Talk about what you guys are doing right now, your backgrounds, and what you're doing right now.
Before that, can we just let Jacob give a shout-out to
And before I start, I just want to give a shout out to my wife. Happy 9-year anniversary to Casey.
That's awesome.
We've been married 9 years, together for over 25. So we've been through the up and downs of heroin addiction together, went through our own treatments together, our own recovery independently, got back together and realized it still works.
And is there anything more important than having that person in support?
Well, you know, when we were in active addiction, 99% of the time we'd support each other's addiction.
Yeah.
And when we got clean independently, learned our own set of recovery skills, what we needed to do to stay clean, 1% of the time we wanted to use. So 99% of the time we'd be supporting each other, and very very rarely did those things
overlap.
What's her
name?
Her name is Casey Jansen.
Yeah. Casey, God bless you.
Right.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
They have such a beautiful family. I mean, two amazing kids. I mean,
my daughter Madison is 11. My son Bryson is 8.
Congratulations,
that's
man.
That's great. Awesome. Isn't that nice? And it's because it's because you made the effort to get clean.
Absolutely. You know, I say my kids keep me clean every single day. I don't know if they would have gotten me clean. You know, there are a lot of stress at times, right. but absolutely love them. Ton of fun.
You good
know,
for great. That's awesome.
Man. You've taken this parlay. This is your life now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. It's you build a life that you don't want to escape from. Right. Yeah. And that was really the key in getting clean. We dig ourselves into these deep holes, and to get out of them, you not only have to kind of repair that brain and the way that you're thinking, but also start repairing your life and find that life that you don't want to escape from.
So Turning the Page, that's the name of your organization. Yes. You two guys are really good friends.
You're wearing great t-shirts. Truth. Talk about T-R-U-T-A.
Those are cool t-shirts.
Yeah.
Teaching resilience using trust and honesty.
Yeah.
Trust.
And you've dealt with so many people.
Absolutely.
That rabbit hole or whatever you call it, right, Jim?
Boy, they need help. I mean, it's hard to just say, I'm done. And you can say that, but there's help out there. And you guys with your counseling services and the speeches you give and, you know, people need that and they can't be afraid of it because, boy, the other side is just so much better.
Yeah. Well, and Jim, really what that comes down to is the both of us knowing how hard it is to get clean, to stay clean. That's why we believe so hard or so much in prevention. It's about, you know, capturing these kids and showing them a better way before you ever get to those points.
And my daughter's in fifth grade and they have the mm-hmm. DARE program. And I got to say, it's come a long way since we were in DARE. They do a lot of good things. And it's that fifth grade point. Doug and I really come in that middle school, that seventh, eighth, ninth grade, and we do truth. So we believe that teaching the kids about these things truthfully, honestly, letting them know that there's help and resources out there is important.
There is something to be said. There's incredible amount to be said for guys that have been there, because I used to work for the DARE program a lot. Okay. I used to speak at their, you know, the graduations and everything like that. And I remember it was in Manitoba.
We both worked together on that.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you and I were both. And I'll never forget one morning they called me and said, "Hey, John, you don't have to come to the school. It's postponed." I said, "Oh, okay. Anything wrong?" He says, "Well, the DARE person got a DUI last night." Honest to God,
no,
truth.
No one's immune.
So what I'm saying is, you know what I mean? But you guys can speak, you know, that person is like, whatever, you know, but you guys have been there. So what comes out of your mouths is legit. It's from your soul.
Right? Well, and also know that we support other organizations, other people. This is one of those things where, I mean, I could fall today. And it's that hope if I fall today, at least I fall in the right direction. It's one of those things where we're never over this.
No.
You know, I mean, I do believe wholeheartedly believe that addiction is a disease. Don't get me wrong.
Totally agree.
But after everything I know, if I go and I use today, that's a choice. Now that doesn't mean I'm ostracized. It doesn't mean that I've lost everything that I've gained in recovery. But there's also they say there's nothing worse than having a head full of recovery and a belly full of drugs.
But you know what? And this, I'm not trying to make light of this in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just being honest. Jim and I struggle with weight issues. And it's like, I even think about that sometimes. It's like, what's wrong with me? Why am I eating this that I know is bad for me? But, and we come in here every day. Yeah, it's like,
but John, there is there's AA, NA, you know, alcoholics anonymous. Right. Alcohol. There is like FA or some Food Anonymous. You can go.
I know.
It's a higher power. But what I'm it's saying 10 is, steps. But here we are.
We can't even
put a Twinkie down.
Away from
you have a full pie in front of you.
I know. It won't be full for long.
And as soon as you leave.
So I can't even imagine in a small way. And again, not trying to make light of it, but we understand self. Yeah. Resistance where there is so difficult.
Well, and kids are really smart nowadays. They have computers in their pockets and, you know, they can tell if we're being real or not. So, you know, a big part of what Doug and I do, it's, you know, we don't get up there and talk about the horror stories that we had. We talk about, yes, there was a problem, but this is what we needed to do to solve it. And we wish we would have done that at an earlier age.
What's the turning point?
That's cool.
I mean, Jim and I are, and again, not making a lie, but literally, we're looking for that turning point that helps us lose 20 pounds. What was the turning point that saved your life?
Well, so just like you want to go looking for a personal trainer that weighs 400 pounds, right?
Well, he's got a personal trainer. That's not helping.
So you got to find
he can't do a lunge without falling over.
I did lunges yesterday. I did lunges. up and down the hall. You know what? That guy that was in here, I hate doing lunges. That's like my least favorite thing to do when I work out. Yeah. And he goes, remember the guy said, keep your legs a little bit wider.
Yeah.
That works.
Oh, okay. More of a base. I like that.
Anyway, so go ahead, you guys. Sorry,
it's about finding what works for you and then finding the consistency in that, right? They say, you know, one day at a time, but this is a lifelong disease. So it's about
Jim deals with recovering people on a regular basis, but the ones that I've talked to, it's, you know, they say, well, once I see death, and it's like, oh, I'm going to, and it didn't, that didn't do it either. What is it?
John, I mean, for me, it was prison. But it wasn't prison that saved me. It was giving me the ability to see past that. I could be sober, that I could live this life. I mean, when you go down that far, and I don't know how long that you've even struggled with what you're talking about with weight.
And again, I'm just going to say, no, it's not. I can show you pictures when I was 39.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, you remember me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that you came from your stepfather was tremendously successful. Your mom has been I love your mom. We've been great friends forever. I remember you when you were a long. So it's not like, well, it's this terrible, you know.
Right.
Disadvantage, whatever. No. It can happen to anybody.
My parents are still married, 44 years.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing is, I had all the support in the world. I come from a wonderful family.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you why it happened. I couldn't even tell you what would have been the thing to save me. But I know that why Jake used, two different reasons. Why we got sober, two different reasons. And so what that recovery looks like is very different at times, but supporting it. I don't care how people get clean. It's about sitting in those moments and about helping find them the answers for it.
Right? But they got to believe that they can live a life clean. I mean, that's 100%. Some people don't.
Absolutely.
I couldn't see that until I had the drugs at least detoxed from my system.
Right.
You know, I laughed.
But that was forced. It was.
My own crying mother wasn't going to get me into treatment. So, I'm going to spin this conversation a little bit. That's why I get frustrated when I see our county spending $30,000 on a billboard saying, try it once, hooked for life. You know, the resources that we have out there are far and few between. So when we have the conversation, you need to have not only the doctors, the lawyers, the politicians, you need to have the people in recovery with a voice at the table.
Absolutely.
Trying to say what works.
Absolutely.
Because what we've been doing for the past multiple decades hasn't worked. I don't care whose fault it is. I don't care why it happened. I care that it changes. And I'm sick of seeing that same repetitive, you know, notion.
You know, and for me, I was building treatment facilities and sober living homes and sold everything to focus on prevention because I believe that dollars spent on prevention are much more effective than, you know, treatment down the line when people are already hooked.
This is interesting. This is going to help me. I get an interview tomorrow. Pritzel, who is the head of he's coming in. I have a show on Sunday called Lean Local, and we're going to talk about, you know, and I think we have to talk about the problems. I think sometimes Green Bay, NFL draft and this and
greatest
that.
Greatest place to live. You know,
and it is, but boy, it's not without its warts.
There's certainly stigma around a lot of different topics, but, you know, drug addiction is one of those stigmas that's kind of breaking in the communities. You know, there's a lot of people dying. There's a lot of people having problems. A lot of people can relate right now, so.
And I'll tell you why, and this is unfortunate, just kind of, you know, lower income. Economic lines here. There's some great, every kid's great, but there's just some pretty prestigious families that have lost people to this, and I think that's elevated. Like you just said, we're talking about it more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you see the pictures of Michael Jordan's kid, South Ferris, snorting cocaine. Every time the drunkest communities in the country come out, you know, and Wisconsin's just blanketed. But it's almost, we wear it with, you know, like a badge on or our stripes on our shoulders.
We laugh about it.
We do. And I often say, you're going to laugh or you're going to cry about this. And I've cried enough. Again, when we talk stigma, it's the stigma of, you know, just let those people die. That bothers me. I've been told getting off stage, you know, you can't call yourself a junkie. Well, I can because I was. You can't call me. Well, you probably could. You know, but again, what is it that we're really trying to break? Is it that we're trying to just get these moral wins and feel good in the community that we're supporting people? Or are we really going to put some dollars behind this and show what recovery looks like? Looks like is a better life.
Yeah, when we get on stage, it's really about starting the conversation with the kids, you know, and it's about doing that by sharing personal stories with us and really being those cheerleaders and hype men to get the kids engaged in the next programming. So when we come in, we say, we are excited to have the skills building programming afterwards. We are excited to have the other organizations come in and work with the kids. And the kids are more engaged and active because of it.
I have to ask, when you went to, and I'm not going to get into details, but when you went to, and they closed that door behind you, and you're in that 8x10 cell, or did you have a cellmate? And like, what was, because I've got a buddy, he went to prison for 6 years for dealing cocaine, and he's the toughest, one of the toughest people I know. And he said he cried himself to sleep. What was that like for you in prison when they closed that door?
It's lonely.
100%. I'll tell you, the scariest day of prison for me was the day before I went.
Okay.
The fear of the unknown, right?
Right.
And I think I take that into, you know, most of my life. And either you're gonna face that fear and you're gonna go through it. John, I was there. I mean, it was sad. It was lonely. My hardest days were when my family would come visit. Mm-hmm. And now I'm acclimated to prison. You know, I went back to my cell and made a hookup and you know, watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah. My parents, my siblings, they would go home. And I would see that heartbreak on,
yeah.
You know, I'm not going with. But there was also a lot of acceptance. And my life's never been bad, though.
I
smiled for the first time. I really laughed for the first time clean. You know, I mean, I got sober in jail. I dreamt for the first time. And that's why I started using drugs, is because I had night terrors about my dad. You know, like, wow. Those were the things that you get back. And again, you can either moments.
Can we talk about that real quick? Mm-hmm. Tell about your dad. Your biological dad.
Yeah, so I'm from a small mountain town in Washington.
Yep.
And my father was a methamphetamine user, heroin addict, alcoholic.
And a veteran.
Vietnam
veteran, right?
But that's the thing, is don't get it twisted. My father was a good man. He was a loving husband. He was a caring dad. And at the age of two, my mom had seen the writing on the wall. Yeah. She had seen where it's going to bring the family. And she gave my dad that ultimatum. Now, my dad made the most unselfish act that any father could make. And he said, Tammy, you need to take Douglas and go.
Yeah.
And shortly after, my dad did get clean. And I spent the next 10 years every summer out there with my dad, right? But I still didn't have that education. I didn't know when I turned 13 and I went out there and I heard him for the first time say, I lost my leather jacket. I must have left it at the bar. You know, I didn't know that because he was clean for 10 years, that it didn't mean he was secure.
Wow. Stick around, both you guys. Douglas Derby, Jacob Jansen. You guys are awesome. We'll be back right after this.
I'll talk about this.
On a long, lonesome highway east of Omaha, you can listen to the engine moaning out his one-note song. You can think about the woman or the girl you knew the night before. As you're shaking off the cold, you pretend it doesn't bother you, but you just want to explode.
I'm gonna talk about that.
Man, that is one of my all-time favorite songs. Turn the Page.
Yeah.
Bob Seger.
That is the name of this
awesome
organization.
Yeah. Most times you won't hear.
Okay, we'll just go to turn. We'll let Bob
other
sing.
Times you can't.
All right, so
all
you guys.
The same old refrain. Is that a woman or a
don't
man?
You see, the problem with that is he thinks he's singing on pitch.
Number.
Do you guys,
you don't
you guys
dare
sing,
make
right?
a stand. Got,
that,
I sing in my car okay. with the volume as loud as it goes.
That's a good idea. And you're there alone.
At least he got all the words.
And, right.
Thank you.
Sometimes he's. Like Christmas songs.
Okay, whatever.
He stumbles through to the chorus. Anyway, you guys, name your organizations, turn the page. And prevention for alcohol and drugs, right? I mean, that's
mental health.
Mental health, too. Tell me if you could wave a magic wand and don't say I'd get rid of all the something that's realistic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get rid of all the fentanyl and mm-hmm. that's not going to happen. And it's demand driven. Mm-hmm. There's a supply out there, but if there's no demand, the supply will go away, right?
Correct.
What is it, if you could wave a magic wand? I am going to be talking to the director of Health and Human Services, who's a friend of mine, a good guy, and you guys have met him before. And I don't know, tell me.
Yeah, we've been fighting the supply, you know, with the war on drugs for decades
right.
now, and we have to start looking at the demand.
Totally.
You know, when I always tell the story, when I was running treatment facilities in sober homes, we were trying to save the people that fell into the river, right? Now, prevention is about figuring out why they're falling in the river in the first place. Prevention is talking to the next group of doctors, police officers, teachers. You know, these are our next generation, and we can teach them in prevention that prevention is better mental health. It's asking for help. It's setting goals. It's finding mentors in your life. You know, it's setting healthy boundaries. All of those things are healthy prevention, which set people up for a better future of not using drugs and alcohol. So our ask would be really to get back into Brown County. We were in here for 2 years. We graciously had a contract. We were in, you know, a dozen schools in the area. And unfortunately, that contract wasn't able to continue about 2 years ago. So we've had to move to other areas of the state.
The prevention that you're talking about, is this in school counselors, or is it there's a stigma with seeing a counselor?
Yes.
But they're really, you talk to a good doctor, there's not. It's healthy. I mean, it's just my kids.
But you're right. There is a stigma.
Yeah. And there's sometimes it's healthy. It's like, man, I feel great. I'm going to see my counselor. And you know what I mean? Like, it's okay. We go to see trainers to get physically fit, right?
I saw a counselor for 10 years.
Isn't that the biggest thing is we talk about mental health and often you'll hear mental illness. But if you can just refrain from understanding that everybody has mental health, I mean, that's a different conversation. I don't necessarily like talking about addiction. I like talking about recovery because I know the both of you have been through something and I'm pretty sure that you've handled it. You've gotten through it. Isn't that recovery? Isn't that a way that we can kind of all just be on an equal thing? You talk about eating, you talk about gambling, shopping, sex, all these addictions that are out there.
Well, at least we got a good listener here. Thank you for listening.
How did he know we have a sex addiction?
Right? Todd?
Todd, what are you saying?
You told us it wasn't a hot mic.
but these are the addictions that we're talking about. And if you want to understand what it is, you know, do a 21-day challenge. You know, give up Diet Coke for 21 days and see if you do it. Give up smoking for 21 days. Those are the things that can make you just have a little bit of better understanding of what some of these people go through. Absolutely.
Well, and the really neat thing is when we go into a school, we will develop relationships with the counselors, with the social workers that are there ahead of time. So when these kids sit down and start talking to us, we can hand them off to some of these social workers and therapists in the schools that have never met these kids, never talked to them before. And the kids have now humanized these people as somebody that can maybe help them.
Okay. I'm going to sound like a really old guy, but is there truth into the, what's it called? With marijuana, with legalized marijuana, that would be a
gateway drug.
Gateway drug, that's the term. Is there truth to that or no?
Trauma is the only gateway that I truly know of.
Wow. Okay. Because you go to the UP, my hometown of like 4,000 people has 3 marijuana stores.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it wasn't the drug. My marijuana dealer introduced me to my first cocaine dealer, who introduced me to my first pill dealer. It was a network. You understand? And it wasn't anything that was
statistics, and they can vary just a little bit. It's about 1 in 134 people who ever try marijuana go on to use heroin. It's about 1 in 9 people who use prescription pills that go on to use heroin. So the things like
OxyContin, out of 9?
9, yes. There's a much higher correlation.
Yeah.
Prescription pills.
Wow. And that's why he's talking to these doctors. And we are putting a smackdown on that. I mean, it's even you.
Well,
with
they were like, too. Like for my root canal, they wouldn't give me a pain. I took like 20 Tylenol one day.
I mean, it's because everyone's scrutinized it. And again, they were lied to. This is a pharmaceutical industry problem that was unleashed upon, you know, our country, across the world. And we all see the epidemic that came from it.
It's not cause and effect. I love telling this story that you guys probably know how to ride a bicycle. Most Hell's Angels biker gang people started by learning to ride a bicycle, and you're not a Hell's Angels biker gang guy.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, it's that process is progressive. It's a slide, right? And if there is no intervention, if there is nobody teaching people drugs are different, one thing may affect your brain very differently than the next. But if it does, you can ask for help and support in your schools.
And I will say this, you're talking about prescription drug. I know of several people, again, wonderful families, great income, everything's great, and they did get hooked on pain pills.
Yeah. And how sad is it that we're at a point where now doctors are afraid to prescribe for legitimate pain too?
Like I said, with my root canal, Jim was there. I hate to say this, but we're at a golf tournament, and I was suffering so bad with that day that I was getting vodka and soaking a napkin, and putting it on my gum like a baby teething to try to kill that pain.
John,
they wouldn't give me anything.
Do you know the number one reason why people use drugs? Above all, what do you think it is?
Because they work.
That's a good point. Wow.
I thought you were saying because the people work, but it's the drugs.
Wow.
If it didn't work for your brain type, you'd stop doing it, right? If you didn't like alcohol, if it didn't make you more social, you wouldn't drink.
Again, you know, when we had Kristen on here talk about, I said, the thing I like about you is you cut right through the bull, bleep. And you guys cut right through the bull.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
We don't have time.
Serious.
We don't have time to do it. Like, John, I have to, if I want funding, I have to go to a board meeting and I got to get voted and I got to get it, you know, apply for these grants. And there's a fentanyl dealer two blocks down right now. Guess what? Isn't showing a share of hands.
How about we want to get you guys on a regular basis, if it's okay. How bad is fentanyl right now in Brown County?
It's everywhere.
It's the number one health crisis that we're facing.
And it's not just in the opiates. It's in the other drugs. You're seeing it in pressed pills. You're seeing it in the cocaine. It's just, it's scary.
And it's killing people.
It is, yeah, at higher rates than ever before.
If Jake and I were both in active addiction now, we would not be here.
Wow. Okay, I have one question to ask you. I always thought if I go to prison, I'd get along good with everybody because I'd be the funny guy.
100%. I mean, I wasn't in any gangs. I wasn't a sex offender.
Yeah. But if you can entertain.
It's also Wisconsin prisons, too. I will say that. Oshkosh is like a campus.
Douglas Darby, Jacob Jansen.
Thank you, guys.
Turning the Page, TRUTH, Teaching Resilience Using Trust and Honesty. You are saving lives. You are saving generations. We want you guys back on a regular. Todd? Regular basis. Yeah. Is that okay?
Right. Thanks for giving us a voice.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Turningthepage.com. Yes. It's all on there.
It is.
All
right.
Turningthepage.com.
Turningthepage.com.
Oh, sorry.
You guys are awesome.
Turningthepage.com.
We're out of time. Thank you so much.